John chapter number 15, verse 13. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I'll read it to you one more time. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Today I want to bring a message entitled, "Jesus, the Initial First Responder." And the emphasis of the message today is geared towards our first responders who are with us today. And as I read this verse, I think about the great love that Jesus describes here, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And I think about the love and dedication of the men and women who serve as first responders in our community, who give of their time and sacrifice time with their families so that you and I, when we have a crisis, have someone who can help us. And as a member of this community and as a representative of our church, I want you to know, as a first responder, you are appreciated by the First Baptist of Marshville family. And we appreciate what you do, and we support you entirely in your work. And as I began to think about this emphasis day that we wanted to have to honor our first responders, I began to think about what I would preach. And as I looked in God's Word and I thought about the role and the work of a first responder and the work of the Lord Jesus, I saw a great parallel in those works. And I saw how that so much of the work that Jesus did was a parallel or similar to the work of a first responder. Now, that may sound strange to you, but as we look in God's Word this morning, I think that you're going to see exactly why I believe that Jesus himself was not only a first responder, but that he was the initial first responder, and that the work that he did during his earthly ministry and as our Savior is very similar and picturesque of the work that you do as a first responder. And so today, during our short time together, I want to share with you three ways that I believe that the work of Jesus parallels the work of a first responder and show you why I believe that Jesus Christ was truly the initial first responder. If you'd like to take notes with us this morning, the first thing I want you to make note of is this. Let's talk, number one, about his service as a first responder. Number one, let's talk about his service as a first responder. His work is similar to the work of a first responder in the service that he did, because his service was always geared towards others. His ministry is very similar to the role of a police officer or a firefighter or even a paramedic. And so I want to look at three different passages of Scripture, three different stories that illustrate how Jesus' service was very similar to the service of a firefighter, an officer, and a paramedic. So let's begin, number one, by looking at his service as a first responder. It was like an officer. It was like the service of an officer. And if you'll flip back just a few pages from John over to the book of Mark for a moment, in Mark chapter number 5, we're going to see how that the work of the Lord Jesus was very similar to the work that a police officer, a sheriff's deputy does. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the Lord Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and he encounters a man who is having a lot of problems. You know, police officers are never called out to deal with citizens who are obeying the law. So if a police officer gets a call, it's always because there is a problem. And the Lord Jesus comes across a man who's having a problem in a community that's having a problem with a man who is unruly and a nuisance to their society. In Mark chapter number 5, you see in verse 3, it begins to describe this man. In verse 3, it says, he was a man who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And so this man that Jesus encounters is a man who lived in a graveyard. He was always around tombs and hanging around dark places. He was a man that they had tried to bind up with chains before, but he was so strong, and he actually was possessed with a demon, and that demon inside of him would give him strength to break those chains. Verse 4 says, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And then notice this last expression in verse 4. It says, neither could any man tame him. Now, the word tame there is just an old English word for to mean to reason with. It says that this is a man who not only made his dwellings in the tombs and lived in the graveyards, but he was also a man that you couldn't reason with, you couldn't tame, you couldn't ever have a conversation with him about the future of his life. Verse 5 tells us, and it says, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." So here's a guy who's crying out all the time for just ungodly reasons. And not only that, but he takes different stones and different things that have sharp edges and he begins to cut himself and cut his flesh. And you say, "Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with a police officer?" Well, it sounds to me like a call that a lot of police officers may respond to in our society today. People who are on drugs, people who are not taking their medications, people who are just doped up on all kinds of different things. To me, Jesus knew what it was like to show up at a place and have to deal with someone who was unruly and who was a nuisance to society. And so I see that Jesus, like a first responder officer, he had this similar role to dealing with people. But not only was his role as a service as a first responder like an officer, secondly, his role as a first responder was like a paramedic. Stay here with me, if you would, in Mark chapter number 5, a little later on, Jesus crosses over a body of water, and he comes here in verses 21 through 24, and he is encountered by a man. The Bible tells us here in verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Verse 23, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Notice what it says in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets off the ship, and immediately as he gets off the ship, here comes a man that runs to his aid, and he falls at his feet, and he says, "I have a little girl, and she's sick unto death, and if somebody doesn't help her, then she's going to die. Jesus, would you come and lay your hands on my daughter so that she can be healed?" Well, is that not the same thing that takes place today when someone has an illness or someone has a sickness and it's an emergency? Somebody will say, "Somebody call 911. And somebody picks up the phone and dials 911. And what do? They send a paramedic out. And just like Jesus went running to this woman and went traveling to this little girl, so do paramedics today. When they get the call, they send out and they roll out to go to try to help those who are in need. And just like the paramedics do with us, they help us. Jesus, when he got to this young girl, he saw a scene where everybody was distraught. Look at it with me, if you would, here in verse Mark chapter 5, verse 38. The scene that Jesus experienced. It says in verse 38 of Mark 5, "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." I can't imagine, I'm not a paramedic, but I've been in a situation where paramedics were called to respond to a scene, and it's often a scene where there's chaos surrounding it. People are crying, people are upset, people are scared. There's often family members and loved ones around that are very concerned, and so Jesus knew all the different steps. He knew what it was like to be called immediately and have to rush out, but he also knew what it was like to arrive on scene and see a situation, a scene that was chaotic with people weeping and wailing. But just as paramedics do today, Jesus worked on her and Jesus healed this woman, this little girl, and this little girl received her healing. And so we see that his service is much like that of an officer. His service is much like a paramedic. But then thirdly, I want you to see that his service as a first responder is like a firefighter. Thirdly, it was like a firefighter. You say, "Preacher, this is going to be a stretch. I'm interested to see how you're going to link the ministry of Jesus to that of a firefighter." Well, it's not very hard, but we're not going to find that illustration in the New Testament. You don't have to turn there. You can if you'd like. But in Daniel chapter number 3, we find a situation where the children of Israel have been taken into Babylonian captivity. And they're there, and they're in a strange land, and there's a man who is a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Some of you who are getting ready to have children, or if you know somebody getting ready to have children, that's a good name for a boy right there, Nebuchadnezzar. You just write that down and try to get that stenciled on something in the nursery. And some of you dads are like, "Please, preacher, no, I don't want to do that." But regardless, they were in Babylonian captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king, and he had them erect a golden image, and he told everybody there that they had to worship him. And they had to bow down to it. Well, there were three Hebrew boys that said, "No, we're not going to do that." And so King Nebuchadnezzar, in his anger and in his fury, commanded that they would be cast into a fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verse 20 says this. It says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So here we have these three Hebrew boys, and they're cast into the midst of a fire. But notice something interesting that happens. They're cast into the fire, and then in verse 24, the king Nebuchadnezzar rises up and sees something very unique. In verse 24, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the who? The Son of God. So you say, how is Jesus in his ministry like that of a firefighter? Well, because when we have a group of Hebrew boys who were cast into the fire, when we have the king look into the fire furnace, where is Jesus? He's right there walking with them, protecting them in the midst of the fire, just like a firefighter would run into a burning building to rescue a family or rescue children or somebody who is there. Jesus knows what it's like to encounter that fire. He knows what it's like to assist us and help us. So you're beginning to see now why that I say that Jesus was the initial first responder, because the work of an officer is just like the work that Jesus had. The work of a paramedic is just like the work that Jesus did. And the work of a firefighter is just like the work that Jesus did. So we see, number one, his service as a first responder. But I want you to notice a second thing. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see his struggle as a first responder. His struggle as a first responder. Now, for me, to be quite honest with you, it's hard to imagine that society would take issue with an individual or individuals who devote their life to helping protect and helping other people. But they do. And they not only do, but they have. And as we look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see that the same way that people treated first responders today is the same way that they treated the Lord Jesus in that day. And Jesus understands what it's like to have the struggle of a first responder. You say, Pastor, what kind of struggles are you talking about? Well, there's two of them really that I want to point out to you. The first one is the struggle of being rejected by others. The rejection of others. You remember the guy that we just read about in Mark chapter 5? I don't want to ask you to turn there, but in Mark chapter number 5, you remember the guy that we just talked about that Jesus went to like a police officer, a guy that was cutting himself, a guy that lived in the tombs, a guy that was unruly, a guy that you couldn't tame, you couldn't rationalize with? Well, Jesus in that story, I told you that the man was actually possessed with a demon. So Jesus in that story actually cast the demon out of this man. But here's what is unique about the story. This man had evidently multiple demons in him. You say, Pastor, what's that like? I have no idea, so don't ask me. I don't know what it's like to have multiple demons. I don't know. I've never cast a demon out of anybody. Hope I never have to. I'll ask Perry Comer to do that. If I have a demon, I'll have Perry cast them out for me. But regardless, that's what the Bible says. This man had a legion of demons within him. And so as Jesus is talking with this man, And this legion of demons somehow recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And so they tell him, they say, please don't just cast us out. Please don't kill us. So there, Jesus looks over and there's a group of hogs. There's a group of swine that are feeding over here. And so Jesus casts those demons out of this man into the souls or whatever of those swine. And when it happens, those demons cause that group of pigs to run down into a body of water and they drowned. And it wasn't a small group of pigs. It was actually quite a large group of pigs. If you don't believe me, you can read it in Mark chapter 5, verse 13. I promise I'm not making it up. But here's what happens. The man that was possessed, the Bible says in verse 15, they come, the people of the village, they come and they see him and he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. Here's a guy who before was cutting himself. Here's a guy before you couldn't even have a rational conversation with. Here's a guy before that lived in the tomb. But Jesus helped him, and now he's clothed, he's in his right mind, and he is there, and now he can be a benefit to society. But you know what the Bible tells us about the people who came
and saw him. They saw him, but they also saw the pigs. And they heard that the pigs had went and the pigs that had drowned. And you know what the Bible tells about them in verse 16 and 17? It says that they go to the Lord Jesus and they ask him to leave. They go to Jesus and said, depart, get out of here. Let me read it for you specifically what they say. Here in Mark chapter number 5. Verses 16 and 17, it says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They said, don't just get out of our village, but get out of our area. We don't want your kind of help here. Jesus understood what it was like to be rejected by others. And our first responders today, as they go out into a community and they try to help, they try to deal with people just like that Jesus dealt with, that is unruly, that nobody can help. They help them. And what are they? They're rejected by the community that asked them for help. That's the struggle of our first responders. They struggle with the rejection of others. Jesus understood what it was like. Not only do they struggle with the rejection of others, they struggle with what I call ridiculous outlooks. They struggle with ridiculous outlooks. And to be quite honest with you, this is not something that only first responders with. We all deal with this, but first responders deal with ridiculous outlooks, and Jesus also dealt with that. When Jesus goes on trial, they've taken him in the garden, and they take him back, and they bring him before the Roman governor, a man by the name of Pilate. And when they bring him before Pilate, Pilate really can't find anything wrong with Jesus. And so what happens is Pilate decides that he's going to call on an old custom where he could present two different people before the society and let them choose who they think should receive judgment. So Pilate goes and he's got Jesus on one side, and then he goes and gets a criminal by the name of Barabbas on the other side. And he presents to the people an honest man who has never done anything, can't even be found guilty of one thing in a trial, and a criminal. And he says to the people, you choose, whom would you have that I execute judgment upon? Barabbas the criminal or Jesus the Messiah? And who did the people side with? They sided with the criminal and they cast judgment on the innocent man. Now to me, beloved, that's a ridiculous outlook on life. That's a ridiculous outlook to take and decide and to throw your lot in with a criminal, somebody who breaks the law, and yet turn your back and cry out for the judgment and the life of somebody who's never done anything but try to help everyone around them. But you know something? That's exactly what our society does to our first responders. That's exactly what we have rioting about and looting in the streets and in some of the cities in our nation. We have people who take the side of a criminal over the side of a man or a woman who is trying to uphold the law and uphold justice. And I'm not a first responder, but I can tell you just as a citizen, that burns me up. It burns me up as a man to watch a man or a woman who goes out every day and straps a belt with a firearm and mace and other things to try to protect me and to try to protect you. And it burns me up of men and women who get in an ambulance every day and go out and try to rescue people and to help them, or a firefighter who puts on that oxygen tank and that mask to go out and try to save somebody. And yet, our society goes out against those people and sides with the criminal. That's a ridiculous outlook on life. But as a first responder, that's got to be a struggle. And what I'm saying to you is I may not understand it, but Jesus understands what it's like. Jesus understands what it's like for society to choose a criminal and the side of the criminal over you. And so you can see how, again, not only in his service, but in his struggle, Jesus was a first responder. And not only a first responder, but the initial first responder. And we see his service and his struggle. But notice the third and final thing this morning. The third and final thing I want you to see is his sermon as a first responder. His sermon as a first responder. The message of Jesus' life is the same as the message of a first responder, in that the message is that life is precious. Jesus' whole ministry was trying to reveal to us that life is precious. And that's the same work of a first responder. It's precious. It's worth protecting. It's worth preserving. And as Jesus speaks this sermon with his life and with his actions, he tells us two main points. The first one is that every life is important. Jesus' ministry teaches us that every single life is important. When our police officers or our sheriff deputies are stationed or they're riding around or a paramedic is riding around or they're at the fire station, the EMT house, or the firefighters are there at their house, when the call comes in, it doesn't come in and say that there's a problem, there's an emergency at a nice neighborhood. It doesn't say that there's a problem or there's an emergency in a lower income neighborhood. They just call in and say that there's an emergency and people need help. And those first responders race out. No matter whether you're white, no matter whether you're black, no matter whether you're Asian, whether you're Latino, whether you're an American Indian, or whether you're from India, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. They come out and they help you. Why? Because every life is important. And the Lord Jesus Christ exemplified that very thing. You know, Jesus helped some people that people around him didn't like him helping. The people there that were around him, they could not stand the Samaritans. But yet Jesus went and met a Samaritan woman by the well. Jesus went and dealt and ate with publicans and sinners that the most religious people in the day looked at and said, "Why are you eating and dealing with these publicans and sinners? You're above that." But you know, Jesus taught us with his ministry that every life is important. And that's the same message that first responders preach every day with their life as they go out and they help people that nobody else would want to touch, nobody else would want to be around, but they go because it's their responsibility. And Jesus taught us the same lesson that every life is important. But the message of the initial first responder was not only that every life is important, but secondly, it was that eternal life is important. It's that eternal life was important. Christ Jesus, in John chapter 3, has a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. A very famous conversation. You've heard the expression, "be born again." You must be born again. That comes from this conversation in John chapter 3 that Jesus had with Nicodemus. You see, Jesus not only taught us and preached a sermon with his life that every life was important, but he also teaches us that eternal life is important. And eternal life is important. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Notice what Jesus says. He tells us in this verse that people are perishing. Is that not what he says? He says that whosoever believeth in him should not what? That he should not what? Perish. Then he goes on in the most famous verse in Scripture is John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish." Jesus tells us that people are perishing. But I'm glad that's not all he told us. I'm glad he tells us that you and I have an opportunity. And it doesn't matter who we are or where we are or where we're from or who we knew or anything else, because he says in both of these times, in verse 16, he says that whosoever, I'm a whosoever this morning. You're a whosoever. You know who else is a whosoever? Anybody. Anybody's a whosoever. It means anybody that's willing. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus told Nicodemus that eternal life was important. And it's important today, no matter whether you're just a first responder or whether you're just a church member, whether you're visiting here today, no matter where you are or what your background is, I want you to know that eternal life is important. It's important because Jesus says that we're perishing, but that we don't have to perish. We don't have to die and live a life separated from God for all of eternity, but we can have a home in heaven. We can be with Jesus for all eternity. And the only stipulation is this: if we'll believe in him. And so today, we honor our first responders. And we honor them by showing them and showing you that their work is a specific work It's a holy work. It's the same work that the Lord Jesus did. Because Jesus Christ truly was the initial first responder. And today, if you're a first responder here, you are loved and you're appreciated by this church and by this pastor. If you're not a first responder here today, I want to encourage you to reach out. Whether you see somebody at a restaurant, whether you just make a specific stop to tell a police officer or a paramedic or a firefighter just how much you appreciate them. And share with them. Say to them, did you know that your work is a lot like the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus dealt with people just like you did in His service. Jesus dealt with the struggles just like you do. And Jesus' message and His sermon of His life was just the same sermon as your life, that every life is important. But then also share with them that Jesus says that eternal life is important. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today is a day that your life can change forever by believing in Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.